Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On this Covenant Journey Bible podcast, we're going to be talking about the Bible and how it has been meticulously and carefully transmitted through history. It is filled with treasures and speaks to us today. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. In the book of Lamentations, as just one of many examples in the Old Testament, we see a tremendous book that is both written as a funeral song, known as a dirge, but also with an acrostic theme to it. And we're going to be talking about that in Psalm 119 as well, and also the transmission of the Bible through history. It is such an amazing book, and we have so many versions of it, so easy to access it, and so easy to forget it in the busyness of our day. And I want to focus on the beauty and the magnificence of this Bible, which is unparalleled to any other piece of literature known to humans ever transmitted. The Bible stands in a category all by itself. The book of Lamentations, for example, it is written in poetry. 40% of the Old Testament is written in poetry. And the reason why that's important is because it's written to be sung. And consequently, as you know, you can memorize words of a song easier than if you're trying to just simply rote memorize that particular saying or passage. It's easier to memorize lots and lots of volume of songs when you put it to music. So consequently, when the transmission of the Bible was primarily oral, and when there was not a lot of scrolls to be passed down or things that would be duplicated for you to have a physical copy, it was important that you were able to correctly memorize the words of Scripture. And it's a good idea for you to practice that even now, to put the Scripture to music. It's much easier to memorize it. The Book of Lamentations is one of those books. It's written in the meter of a dirge. And the dirge is like a funeral song because it is the book of Lamentations, lamenting over the destruction of the holy city, Jerusalem. And it is a funeral song, if you will, over the destruction of Jerusalem. A dirge is like this heavy music. If you kind of picture going to a funeral, more of the older fashioned funerals. Today we have more celebrations of life, and so they're more upbeat and positive. But if you can picture a funeral where you have this deep organ music, where it has a foreboding, a deep sorrowful feeling, that's how the book of Lamentations is to be heard from those who are actually singing that particular book. It is a funeral song. It is a lament over Jerusalem. But not only that, it's also what's known as an acrostic. What's an acrostic? It uses the alphabet, which has 22 letters. And in the book of Lamentations, the first chapter begin with the first letter, A or Aleph, the second letter, B or Beth. The next verse begins with the third letter, G or Gimel. And it goes all the way down through the 22nd letter, which is the Tau. So each one of those verses are 22 in chapter 1, and each one begins with the subsequent succeeding letter of the alphabet, the same for chapter 2. Now chapter 3, which is the center of the book, the first three verses begin with the letter A, the next three with the letter B, the next three with the letter G, and so forth. So not only is it put to music, not only is the music the meter of a dirge or a funeral song, a sad song, a mourning song, but also it has this mnemonic device where you can memorize it quite easily by just knowing the next letter of the alphabet. We also know the most famous, longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119, is also written as an acrostic, and that is also in a similar fashion. If you go to that particular passage in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, the first eight sentences begin with the Hebrew letter A. The next series of eight begin with the Hebrew letter B. The next series of eight begin with the Hebrew letter G, and it goes all the way through the entire alphabet with 22 words. There's so much in the scripture to know about how these verses, the chapters, the books were meticulously passed down to us. I have a professor that I had when I was in seminary, and he grew up in the Armenian quarter of the city of Jerusalem, and he was raised in a monastery there. And he chanted in Greek and other languages. He would chant the scriptures. He was able to memorize the entire Gospel of John. And he said that he could pick up anywhere in the Gospel of John and begin from there and continue to chant it through the very end. Kind of like you pick up with the second stanza of a song, and you know that from memory because the music literally embeds it into your mind, and you can begin to sing the second stanza, the third stanza, and so forth, all the way through the end of the song. That's exactly how he was raised, by chanting the scriptures. If you look at the Hebrew text of the scripture, you will also find in the Hebrew versions of the scripture, the middle word. That's right, the middle word. It's actually written at the top of the page. What is the middle word? The middle word is the actual middle word of that chapter. So Isaiah has a middle word, Jeremiah has a middle word, every book in the Old Testament, they have this middle word. And what is that about? The scribes would count every single word, manually count every word. And when they were copying from one manuscript and making a duplicate of it, they wanted to make sure that they had the exact duplicate. So one way that they would do this is they would count from the beginning to the middle and from the end to the middle, and they had to land on the same word with the same number of word count. And if they were off by a couple of words or a word, they realized, whoops, we actually made a mistake and we have to go back and find the word that we didn't put in. And it would either be in the front of the scroll or the last part of the scroll, and they would go back and find that word to make sure that they had a duplicate copy. Can you imagine spending that much time figuring out what the middle word is of these books, counting from the end to that word, from the beginning to that word, and having to land on the same word? And you would realize which half of that book had the mistake. And you would have to go back and then try to find it and then correct it and add a word, or maybe you put in too many words. They wanted to be very meticulous as they were transmitting the word of God. And if you go to, say, 1 Corinthians 11, there is within the rabbinical literature, and this predated the New Testament, by the way, the transmission of the scriptures and using the words received and delivered. They're technical terms that are used in the New Testament. Sometimes we read them and we don't even think about them. But I was able to study this in my master's thesis, the transmission of the Word of God. And you'll see this, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church about communion, the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Now, received and delivered refer to technical terms that Paul is using with a precise meaning. What is he meaning? He is someone who is accurately transmitting that which he received, and he is delivering that to the people. He is the intermediary to make sure that what he is delivering is exactly what he received. A proper, accurate, meticulous, careful transmission of the Word of God. I have received from the Lord that which I delivered. And notice where he received it. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from where? From some other person? No. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, when we go to Galatians chapter 1, he also uses that phrase. He's talking to the Galatians about the fact that they've only received one gospel. They've received Jesus Christ. And that anybody who comes and preaches another gospel, which really isn't another gospel, it's a fake one, or another Jesus, and there is no other Jesus, there's only one, let that person be accursed. There were people that were coming into the church of Galatia, and they were distorting the message. They were preaching another gospel. They were preaching another doctrine. They were trying to deceive the people of Galatia. They were trying to bring them into bondage as opposed to the freedom that they had in Christ. But in this chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." This didn't come from human. It didn't come from any individual. Why? How do we know that? "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now that's pretty powerful. It's the same thing that he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." In Galatians, I didn't receive this gospel, this good news, from a human. And I received it directly from the Lord. Now, when would he have received that from the Lord? No doubt, during the appearance where he ultimately encountered the Lord Jesus on his way to Damascus. He was en route to capture, imprison, and even kill Christians who were followers of Jesus. You remember that passage in the book of Acts. He was on the way to ultimately do harm to followers of Jesus Christ. And that's where the Lord Jesus appeared to him. It was at that point in time that he immediately did not consult with anybody. He went into the wilderness for a period of time. He then eventually went to Jerusalem to speak with the leaders of the Jerusalem church, including the brother of James. He speaks about this in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and 2. But that's not where he received this gospel. He didn't receive it from them. He received it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not one person passing on the scripture to another person, and then that person passes it on meticulously to other individuals. This is the Apostle Paul saying he received it from Jesus himself, and he is delivering it exactly how he received it from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a powerful statement. The Bible is full of treasures, and it speaks to our everyday life. It answers every question. It is a story about our Lord. It is a story about our Heavenly Father from the very beginning through time. It's the story of salvation, how through the nation of Israel, how through the prophets, as revealed in the scriptures, God had an eternal plan to ultimately bring salvation to you and I. And through the life, especially of Jesus Christ, because Hebrews says, long ago, God spoke through the prophets, through these writings, but in these last days, he has spoken clearly through his Son, who is the ultimate revelation. And Jesus is the revelation that the scriptures ultimately pointed to. He's the revelation that the New Testament writers speak about. It is from Jesus himself that the revelation is given to the Apostle Paul and transforms his life. And he is meticulously, carefully transmitting that to those at his time that echo through history. And you and I are the recipients of this precious word of God. And yet, oh my, we take it for granted. We think that we don't have time to be in our word. We think that we have to hurry up and get ready. Or, you know, when we get home, we're exhausted, or there's kids and all kinds of things to distract us. Look, you have time for what you make time for. And I know we all have a certain amount of time. But this is the Word of God. People gave their lives to transmit the Word of God. We don't have to carry around large scrolls. We don't have the Word of God piecemeal. Some people in foreign countries, some of our brothers and sisters, they will be killed because they have the Word of God. They look at little tiny scripture verses. Many of them memorize the scripture because they don't have anything in writing, and they would be persecuted and killed if they did. And yet we have it on our smartphones, on our smart tablets. We have various versions. We can go online. I encourage you to immerse yourself into the Word of God and study the beauty of what God's letter to us is. It is a letter of salvation, but it is a letter to each one of us that will, when we take time through prayer and ask for God to reveal to us what He wants, and that we spend time consistently in the Word and also in prayer and fellowship, will literally not only transform us, but also our families, our church, our community, our government, our nation, and indeed our world. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.